We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Samach Gimel in the Shalem edition and Kuf Ein Gimel in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. We're up to the fifth speech. The Ran had quoted that passage in Talmud that says that in order for one to attain prophecy, he must be Chacham Gibor Ashir Anav. He must be wise and brave and wealthy and humble. And he quoted Maimonides' interpretation that brave doesn't mean he has to be physically powerful, but rather means he has to conquer his desires. Wealthy doesn't mean monetary wealth, but rather that he's happy with his lot. And he disagreed with that. And he brought three proofs against Maimonides. And we saw them last week. And he said, no, it means literally. Brave means he's got to be a powerful warrior. Wealthy means he's got to have a lot of money. That's what it means. And he proved it from the Talmud. So he disagrees with Maimonides. Aval tzarich biyu. But, says the Ran, nonetheless, we have to understand, the Talmud over there adds another detail. He says he has to be tall. So he says, why does a prophet have to be wealthy and tall? He says, what would Maimonides say? Tall means figuratively? How does tall mean figuratively? How do you work that one in? That was one of his proofs against Maimonides. You tell me he has to be powerful. I understand the prophet's going to rebuke a nation. He better have some muscles. Okay, I could understand that one. He's got to be a brave warrior because to stand up to the masses and rebuke them, that takes guts. So I understand that the prophet has to be a powerful warrior. As we find in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, God warns Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sent to prophesy as a young man, and he never got to learn proper grammar. He's saying his prophecies, he's a young Kohen, and God warns him in the beginning, you better stand up and do what I tell you. And Jeremiah had problems, you know, his own family in Anatot, his own family, the Kohanim, tried to poison his drink. They weren't interested in what he had to say. So God has to warn him, you better stand up and say what I tell you. V'amal, God tells to Jeremiah, he says to him, V'ata tezo motnecha, you girdle yourself. V'kamta v'dibata aleim et kosha anuchi atzaveka, you stand up there and you tell him what I tell you to tell him. El tachat mi al teichat mipnehem penachitecha lifnehem. Don't be scared, God warns Jeremiah, lest I have to break you down before them. You stand up to the people and don't be scared. And the one time he got scared, he really got beaten up. So Jeremiah is warned, don't be scared. Yeah, it's not easy. You know, you're standing up before people like Jeremiah. They accused him of being a traitor. They said, you're purposely telling us we're going to lose the city to weaken the hands of the soldiers. We're putting you in jail. They put Jeremiah in jail. Then they put him in a tar pit to sink and drown in tar. It's not easy. God tells you to say something and the people don't want to hear it. And they're saying you're a traitor and they poison his drink. And it's not easy. Poor Jeremiah. God tells him to talk. He's got to talk, but he has a difficult life. So the Ran says, I understand why he has to be a brave warrior to be a prophet. But I still need to understand, why must he be wealthy and tall? So the answer, says the Ran, if a prophet would only receive prophecy for his own self-fulfillment and not for anyone else, so then if prophecy were only about self-fulfillment, then prophecy should only come to a person who has succeeded in bettering his own soul. You've attained a very high level and all you need is connection with God to become perfect. Okay, so then that's all it should take to be a prophet, to attain that high level. It shouldn't have anything to do with the material world. It shouldn't matter whether his body is whole or missing. But being that a prophet, by his very nature, is not only about himself. It's not only about connecting to Hashem. The whole idea of a prophet is that he's got to talk to the masses. His job is to tell the masses what God told him. So that's why he has to be exceptional. He has to be a man among men. That when people look at him, they say, ah, they look up to him. It doesn't matter if a person is an intellectual who admires wise people, or a philanthropist who admires wealthy people, or a warrior who admires brave people. Everyone has to look up to him. v'sheyishlimu lo malot midot. And that's why he has to be whole in every aspect, so that whoever looks at him, admires him, and is willing to listen to him. V'kva yadua sheino nikra navi, rak miyoto mashmiya tamid umdaber la'amon ma sheitzaveh Hashem itbarach. And it's already known that he only gets that title of Navi when he gives over the word of God. Ki hamdaber tamid ikaren Navi, because he who tells over is called a Navi. The term Navi is really a difficult term, which he's about to discuss. We'll introduce the term without the Ran's usage of the word, because the Ran is about to explain his own understanding of the word Navi. What does the word Navi mean? So Rashi gives us one definition, that it stems from the word Niv Sfataim, speech of the lips. So then any orator could be called a Navi. Rashi in the Talmud discusses that a Navi is one who is a prophet for the masses. Meaning, Daniel received prophecy, but he wasn't told to tell it over to anyone. So Daniel is not called a Navi. I.e., we think Navi means prophet, one who sees prophecy. Rashi in the Talmud in Megillah says no. Navi must be one who says over his prophecy. And that, on the surface, that's the direction the Ran is going, only we're going to see an intrinsic difference between the Ran's understanding of the term Navi and Rashi's understanding. So the Ran is going off on a tangent now to discuss the term Navi. Remember, his focus is, why must he be brave and wealthy? So that he's addressed. He says, well, he has to be admired by everyone because his job as a Navi is to tell over his prophecy to others. The Ran is really stepping on the Rambam's toes over here, because the Rambam holds that there are two types of Nivuot. There's prophecy that is only the Navi's prophecy, and then there's a Navi whose prophecy is to tell others. The Rambam, for example, says, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Adam HaRishon, Noah, all of them received prophecy. They weren't told to tell over to anyone else. The first prophet that's told to talk to the masses is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu refused the job. Moshe says to God, you want me to be a revolutionary? I'm going to come and tell them, God told me to tell you. And they're going to say, wait a second. You want to tell me God spoke to you? Fine, we know God speaks to certain people. But we've never heard of this concept that God wants other people to know something, so he sends someone. If he wants to tell something, let him tell us. Moshe says to God, I'm going to walk in and say, God isn't talking to you, but he spoke to me to tell you. That's a new concept. Why should they believe me? God says, no, from now on, you're going to introduce them to this concept. And that's, Maimonides says, that was the great argument, the great discussion by the burning bush, where Moshe doesn't want to go. Moshe says, I'm going to introduce a whole new concept. Until now, a prophet got his own prophecy. God tells Avram, you're the chosen one. I want you to do circumcision. God doesn't tell Avram to tell anyone else anything. Same thing with Yitzchak, same thing with Yaakov. Moshe is the one that suddenly sent for the masses. And the Rambam also discerns between two types of prophecy. There's prophecy that's my own business, there's prophecy I'm supposed to give other people. That's the whole discussion between Eli and Shmuel, where Eli tells Shmuel, what did God tell you last night? And it's not so clear that God told Shmuel to tell Eli. There's prophecy that's for the prophet's knowledge. Then there's prophecy where God tells Shmuel, I want you to go and tell Eli, go tell him that he's going to lose his two sons, he's going to be punished for the fact that he didn't rebuke them. But the Ran says, no, a prophet is only one who is told to tell over. Ke'omro, as we find the Pasuk says, God tells Moshe, I'm going to talk to you, v'aron achicha yeneviyecha, and Aaron, your brother, will be your Navi. What does that mean? Lo ratza sheyidabek ha'shefa ba'aron ad sheyelo le'navi yidrosh meito atidot. God didn't mean to say, Aaron's going to be a prophet and he's going to tell over my words. No. Aval ratza, but what God meant is, I will tell you the prophecy, Shu Yashmiya Mashiyasi Moshe Befiv, God will give Moshe the prophecy, Moshe will tell Aaron, and Aaron will publicize that which God told Moshe. Aaron is called the Navi, the one who tells over Moshe's prophecy. So you see the term Navi, says the Ran, The term Navi does not have to mean one who receives prophecy, but rather one who tells over prophecy. Aaron is called the Navi, even though God isn't talking to him, but because he's the one telling over the prophecy, that's why the Pasuk calls him the Navi. V'lachen yikarei Navi Hashem Yitbarach Navi. And that's why we find that the term Navi is not only with regard to one who receives prophecy. Yes, he who receives prophecy from God and then is told to tell it over to the masses, he is called a Navi. But the Navi Habal, but one who claims that he is telling over prophecies in the name of the Baal, the pagan god called Baal, well, the Tanakh also calls him a Navi. How could you call him a Navi? If Navi means prophet, how do you call the priests of the pagan god Baal, how do you call them Navi? Answer, because they're also telling over what they in the name of the Baal. And Navi does not mean prophet, says the Ran. Navi means one who tells things over. Ki halashon nigzam milshon niv svatayim, says the Ran, because the term Navi stems from the pasuk niv svatayim, speech of the lips, as we quoted in the name of Rashi in Shmos. Umipnei ze tzorich hanavi shishlemu lo ha-ma'alot ha-sikhliyot ma-ma'alot ha-emoniyot. And that's why the prophet, whose main job is to tell over the word of God, he must be on the highest level intellectually, he must be on the highest level of what the public values. V'zeu shamu b'perk ha-matzniya. And that's what the Talmud tells us in Gemara Shabbos, Bal Koma, the Talmud over there adds that a prophet must be tall, liyoto yoter nireh la'amon be'ein ha'idur, because people tend to respect someone who's tall. They look up to someone who's tall, excuse the pun. And that's why the prophet too must be tall. Kmo shamu b'bchorot, that says, the Talmud says in Tractate B'choros, minayin shakadosh b'chu mishtabech be'balei koma. How do we know that God takes pride in tall people, the Talmud says? See, tall people are something that people look up to. Ve'laze en ra'uy ledaber bedvarim rak ish el tzura. So being that he's going to be God's mouthpiece, so to speak, so then he has to be a person that people are impressed with. Kedi sheyu dvarav nishmain yoter. Because his job is to impress upon the people what God said. Well, then he better be an impressive person. Kinyan shamu betanit, as the Talmud tells us in Tractate Tanis, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Brisa, and the Brisa says, when it comes to a day of fasting, so we appoint someone to rebuke the masses. Who do we appoint? So the Talmud says, Yesham Zaken Omer Zaken. If there's an elder present, so everyone's gathered in the city square, the one who gives the speech is the elder. En Sham Zaken Omer Chacham. You don't have an elder, so then you have the wise man give the speech. En Sham Lo Chacham Velo Zaken Omer Adam Shel Tzura. If you don't have a wise man, you don't have an elder, so then take someone who's impressive. You need an ish shel tzura, a person that's impressive, if he's going to give the speech rebuking the masses. V'husha amar Yirmiyahu, and that's what the prophet Jeremiah said, Hinei lo yadati daber ki na'ar anochi. God tells Jeremiah, I want you to go prophesize. Jeremiah says, but I'm no orator, I'm still a youngster. Lo amar eini tzadik o chasid. Jeremiah doesn't say, God, I'm not pious enough, I'm not righteous enough. He doesn't say that. But his claim was, he says, I understand. I've reached the level where I'm fit to hear your prophecy, God. But he says, but I'm not fit to tell it over. He's not arguing that he's fit to hear the prophecy. But he's saying, God, you want me to rebuke the people? I'm still a youngster. I can't be your orator. Now, once we understand this concept, that there's an importance placed on a person's physical appearance, this introduces us to a concept that Rav Pesach Zatzal used to say over and over again. He used to say that when we appoint a leader, and it could even be a rabbi, it's not only about a king, it's not only about a political position, it could also be a rabbi. One of the things we have to take into account is how impressive he is. And Rav Pesach said that there were numerous times in Jewish history that there were two people that were equally fit for the job. Or even one was maybe even a little bit more fit for the job. But let's not say that, because I don't remember if he said that. He said if there were two people that were equally fit for the job, then we would pick the one that was more physically impressive. Because being impressive is part of the job. You have to be able to convince people. People have to look up to you. And so therefore it makes a difference what you look like. It makes a difference a person's looks, a person's wealth, a person's capacity to speak and convince people, a person's height, like the Talmud says. It makes a difference. When I was a youngster, so I was always the shorty in the class. So my mother would try to comfort me. My mother would say, you know, Napoleon was short. So my answer would be, even then, I didn't know this around then, I'd always tell my mother, Napoleon was short, but everyone looked up to Abraham Lincoln. Makes a difference if you're tall. It is an asset to be tall. That's what we see over here. It is an asset. And according to the Talmud and Shabbos, it was a necessary asset in order to attain prophecy. So the Ran over here, really the Ran taught us two things. The Ran gave us his interpretation and his explanation as to why the prophet must be wealthy and a brave warrior and tall. He says that so that he'll do his job better, because the main purpose of the Navi is to tell things over. And in doing that, the Ran also gave us his understanding of the term Navi, which is unique. He says, Navi is one who speaks. Now, we're going to see the Ran will still expand on this concept, on the definition of the term Navi. But for now, we've at least seen that the Ran takes Rashi's opinion, but he takes it to the extreme. He says, Navi has nothing to do with prophecy. Navi simply means the orator. Now, if he's speaking in the name of the pagan god Baal, so then he's Navi Baal. If he's speaking in the name of Hashem, so then he's Navi Hashem. But the term Navi doesn't mean prophecy. The term Navi simply means mouthpiece. As we find, Aaron was called Navi. It's interesting that Rav Saadia Gaon, it would seem, disagrees with the Ran. Because Rav Saadia Gaon has a phenomenal concept. Rav Saadia Gaon says on that very pasuk that the Ran quotes, that Aaron is Moshe's Navi, the Ran says, you see, Rav Saadia Gaon says, you see from that pasuk that Moshe was on the level of an angel. Moshe doesn't talk straight to Paro because Paro is not fit to hear Moshe. Anyone who hears Moshe was like hearing from an angel. And so Aaron is called a Navi, says Rav Saadia Gaon, because just like a Navi gets his prophecy from an angel, well, Moshe was like an angel. And if you were on the level to hear Moshe, so that means you were a prophet. That's a phenomenal chiddush of Rav Saadia Gaon. So Rav Saadia Gaon, Rav Saadia Gaon takes the very verse that the Ran wants to use to prove that Navi doesn't mean prophet, and he says just the opposite. Navi means prophet, and here you see that whoever was on a level to hear Moshe directly, that means he's getting prophecy, so to speak.